Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now here's what I want to preach on this morning for a few minutes. What is right with the church? What is right with the church? I've been preaching since I was 20 years old, and I'm about up to here with what's wrong with the church. I'm about sick of hearing it. Amen? I know the church got problems. I know that. I understand that. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the local body of believers. We don't apologize for being Baptist. We're Baptist because we want to be. I'm not saying you got to be Baptist to go to heaven, but I am saying that I'm a Baptist by choice. It's not my, because it's just what I got thrust into. Baptists have distinctives and discipline and direction and directives and doctrine. And that's why we're Baptists. I don't like a church that don't ever talk about doctrine. I would not take my children to a church where the preacher never gets up and preaches a doctrinal message. I don't want to hear it, brother. I don't want to hear those generalities for all every time you go to church. Listen, we need to have some doctrine, and I'll give you a little bit of that just in a minute. The church is not a man-made organization. The church is not merely a Bible study. Just because Aunt Minnie and Uncle Fred formed a Bible study in their living room, that don't make it a church, brother. Amen? The Bible is not merely a Bible. The church is not a Bible study. The church is not Christendom or an ecumenical body. The church is not a national church. It's not, you know, people talk about the church. A lot of times they're talking about the Roman Catholic Church. But in the Bible, it talks about individual churches and communities. And the church is not the kingdom of God. We're not ushering in the kingdom of God. Everybody still with me? The church is not a denomination. There's a certain sect of the Baptists that believe, we call them briders, the Baptist brider. They think the Baptists are the only ones going to heaven. Some of them think they're the only ones going. That particular church, I say they're crazy. Hey, brother, I ain't wrong for 1 minute. I have never in my life preached that people that go to a Pentecostal, a church of God, is not going to heaven. They'll probably run past the gate if they ain't careful, some of them. That's right. But I'm saying it's not a denomination. A church, I believe, is people that's born again, washed in the blood, Bible-believing. I mean saved, got your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you've been immersed in baptism. You're in the church, and you're going to heaven someday. I'll tell you what, brother, I'm glad to be a part of the church. I've heard people talk about the church my whole life. Well, that's what's wrong with this country. We got too many churches. Let me tell you something. We go visit in this neighborhood back here about once a year, don't we, Brother Ted? I believe we all walked back there one day. We all got here and started to get in the mail. I said, "Let's go back yonder." And I know that's a black neighborhood. I'm not this brother here. I don't care what color they are. And we went back there, and under God, I believe there's 47 churches in that neighborhood. And can anybody here tell me what those churches are doing to hurt that community? Give me one thing that they're doing to hurt that community. Not one single thing. So don't buy into this stuff. Oh, there's churches on every corner. So what? There's beer joints on every corner too. I get sick of looking at beer joints, lotto tickets, and rolling papers and all that bunch of junk. I get so mad I can cuss. I like to go into one store and be able to walk in, pay for my gas, and get me a Pepsi and a cold beer. I mean, give me a Pepsi. The beer will be for her, not me. But I'm just saying, the churches is not what's hurting this country. I know they're not all right, and I know they don't know what they're supposed to do, but I'll tell you what, brother, if it wasn't for the churches, you think about that neighborhood I just mentioned. You take every church out of that community, what would it be? You saw a preacher, there's crack houses back there. There might be, but take them little old churches out of that community and see what it turns into. There's something about a presence of a church in a community that does something positive for that community. Like that man went out of town one time and said, Could you tell me where the Church of Christ is? And the vessel, well, let's see now. The Smith Church right down there. Let's see, maybe it, no, that's the Jones Church over here. Mister, I don't believe Christ has the church in this town. I said, I about believe that. Amen, brother. You've heard the same old story, the lifelong story of what's wrong with the churches here, what's wrong with that. Brother, I've been here at this church 3 years. I guarantee everybody here can tell you something wrong with it. I can tell you something wrong with it. I can tell you a lot wrong with it. One thing, the pastor ain't got no sense. Preach it, brother. You have to say amen out loud, brother. Amen. But I'll tell you what's right with the church, glory to God. I want to say, first of all, it has the right founder. Amen and amen. I want to say Jesus Christ is our founder. Hey, brother, we're not worshiping some man that's dead and gone. You can go to the tomb of Buddha and Muhammad, and you won't find nothing there but bones and relics and all that. But you go to the tomb of the Lamb of God, and it's empty, and it's clean, and there ain't no bones, and ain't no DNA. Thank God, because He laid there 3 days and 3 nights, and brother, His body saw no corruption, and He got up from the grave, victorious over death, hell in the grave. That's who we worship today. That's who this church is founded on that we're in. Thank God He built the church according to John chapter 1. He bought the church according to the apostles in Acts chapter 20. He bled for the church according to Paul in Acts 20 and 28. He beautifies the church according to Ephesians 3. He beckons the church according to Revelation 22. He benefits the church according to Romans 8 and 37. He is betrothed to the church. Thank God we're engaged to Him. Amen, brothers. Coming a wedding day after a while. He is the bridegroom to the church according to Revelation 19. I tell you, brother, the reason this thing's right, I know we're on the right path, we're on the right track, is because we got the right founder. You know, these Muslims is following a sex pervert. Do you know that? You know, Muhammad married a little girl about 8 years old. They don't tell you that decrepit mess, do they? Hey, brother, I'll tell you something. Jesus Christ, hey, brother, His name goes throughout the Bible and the annals of history, and never one time has there been a blemish on His character or His integrity. He's pure and He's right, and He's righteous, and He's holy and pure, and everything about Him's good. And I want to say thank God. That's one thing right with the church. We have the right founder. Jehovah's Witnesses have a man named Charles Taz Russell. I would not follow a man that had a name Taz in his name. The Mormons have Joseph Smith and Boney Maroney, the angel. They wear holy underwear. We did too. Man, never mind. A different kind of holy. Seventh-day Adventists have Ellen G. White. Islam has Muhammad. Unification Church has a man named Sun Moon. He don't know if he's the son of the moon. Roman Catholics have St. Peter, and they pray to Mary. Christian Science has Mary Baker Eddy. But I'll tell you something about this, and we got, brother, we're not worshiping an ideology. We're not worshiping a concept or an idea, but we worship a man, and His name's Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, who came to this earth to bleed and die for sinners just like you. I tell you why He's a right founder, because he had a virgin birth. Nobody before and nobody since has ever come through the womb of a woman without the help of a human counterpart. Oh, but Jesus Christ was born. That gives me chills to this day. Amen. Just preaching about it. That He was born of a virgin. That His Father was sitting on high on the throne of heaven. And that little virgin maiden gave birth to the lovely, darling Lamb of God. That's what makes Him right. He is virgin born this morning. He's virgin born, but He had a virtuous life. He was a perfect example. He's perfect in His character. He's perfect in His friendship. He's perfect in His compassion. He's perfect in His doctrine. He was perfect in His obedience. Everything about Him just perfect. I mean, brother, how can you sum Him up? Brother Ben, how can you preach about Him? I mean, I've been doing this for all these years, and you can't say it all. We was up at Camp Meek last year, and that old preacher got up and preached all about Him, and 2 or 3 weeks later, I preached something totally different, and then Him covering other them points. I thought, my God, near Him, near the one, didn't scratch the service. He's an inexhaustible subject. My dad used to say, son, when you get stuck, just preach Jesus. Just talk about Jesus. Just sing about Jesus. Thank God, because He's the right founder. He had a virgin birth and a virtuous life. He had a vicarious death. What vicarious means, that's just a big word us rednecks use so we can alliterate our sermon. It means a substitute. It means you should have been hanging there on that cross, bleeding and bruised and beat to death. Because the wages of sin is death. And brother, listen, because of him, you didn't have to die. Because of his death, because he lives, I can live also. Because he died, I'm set free. Amen. Because he was wounded. Thank God, because he suffered, and because he bled, and was bruised, and died, and rose the third day, you have eternal life. Vicarious death, he had a victorious resurrection. You heard him sing about it a while ago. 3 days later, them Roman soldiers couldn't keep him down. And he have, will have a visible return. He's right, brother. He's right. I'm all right with Jesus. Some of us might not be all right with each other. But if you just get your mind and your heart, and as the brother already preached this morning, focus on him, he'll never let you down. He won't hurt you. I've heard people say, we're counting on you, preacher. Oh, no. Don't put that on me, brother. Don't be counting on me. I can't get you nowhere. I can't help you. You realize this morning that I can't put your marriage back together? Oh, but I know a man who can. Oh, I can't help your finances one bit. Oh, but I know a man who can. I can't take that discouragement and that depression and that hurt in your heart away. Oh, but I know a man who can. I can point the way. Amen. I can wave the flag. And I can throw out the lifeline. And I can point the Calvary. But I can't help you. But this founder of this church we're in can do everything that you need him to do. That's what's right with the church. We got the right founder, brother. Number two, this church that we're in has the right foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Right back to him. Amen. It has, I tell you why. The church we're in. And I'm not just talking about Grace Baptist Church. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I tell you what's right with the church. It has the right foundation because it has the right gospel. That's right. If a man preaches to you very long and don't just skin you from Dan to Beersheba, you're in the wrong church, Jack. You need to start finding you a church. Amen. If you don't leave once in a while a little uncomfortable or faint, listen, I've been saved since I was just barely out of my teen years. And there's been a many time I've sat there and heard a man up preaching like I'm doing right now. And I've sat back there, Brother Doug, and thought, man, am I really saved? My God, I'm under conviction. I need to go to that altar. I need to pray about some stuff. I need to get some things right with God. Well, that's because this gospel that we preach, it's the right gospel. It'll get me into God. Right foundation, that's the right gospel, that's the right leadership. The only proper leadership for a New Testament church are pastors or elders or bishops, as they're sometimes called. A church is not to be run by a deacon board or trustees or women with 40-foot tongues. I'm telling you, Bible, this is Bible preaching today. That's what we do every Sunday here. That's why we don't have a packed out house. That's why Joel Osteen's got more he can count, and I can count every one of mine. Brother, listen, I'll tell you something. If I stood up here and lied to you and blinked my eyes and never mentioned God and never mentioned the judgment or death or hell and I never mentioned the blood, I'd have a big crowd too. But I ain't going to do it, brother. I ain't going to do it. Listen, brother, I got to face God someday with this gospel that we're trying to preach, and that's exactly what makes this church right. We have the right doctrine. Jesus preached doctrine. Doctrine possesses authority and power. Jesus himself was subject to doctrine. He said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Right? It is a biblical concept. It is required for spiritual growth. It rescues the lost and preserves the saved. Hey, brothers and brothers, it's the only way to refute false teaching. And listen, brother, this gospel and this foundation we have, it has the right gospel and it has the right kind of living. A New Testament church will manifest godliness in Christian life and service. Make you want to live right. It's funny when people get saved, and if you'll watch them a little bit, they'll start changing how they dress, how they look. Really? You see a woman come to the altar? We had a woman one time, she got saved, and boy, she dressed like the Hopper Valley PTA. I thought, Lord, what are we going to do? I'll never keep the men's eyes up here on me while I'm preaching. I'm serious. She was a looker, buddy. She's pretty, wasn't she, Mom? And she dressed it too, son. I got it, and I'm going to let people see it. That's the attitude she had. It wasn't long after that, Brother Samuel Hymns started dropping. And this part up here started coming up, and this part here started going down. And you saw less of her body, and it was less tight, and it started being a little bit more loose and baggy and godly and modest looking. I thought, glory to God, now we can get back to having some church and have some preaching going on. Which brings me to the right discipline. The right foundation will have the right discipline. A New Testament church has some discipline. You can't just have just anything going on. A lot of things happen. A lot of things happen, and a pastor does things, and sometimes a pastor's wife that the church don't ever even know about. There's been things happening here since I've been pastoring here that nobody knows about, me and her and Brother Sam. Little things some of y'all don't even know about. People I wouldn't let sing in the choir, or people I told them they brought them out of the choir. By the way, don't invite nobody to sing in the choir without seeing me first. Amen. Or Travis, right? Amen? Find out somebody in the choir shacking up. Sorry, you got to go. You can come to church, but you can't sing, you can't serve. You say, preacher, you're mean. No, that's the right discipline. Listen, if you do that in your family or your workplace or in a community or a church without discipline, you have total anarchy. Got to have some structure. I didn't mean to get on all that, but you're welcome. It didn't cost nothing extra. The right fundament, right foundation. Number three, what's right with the church? It has the right fundamentals. We believe the Bible. Everything we believe. Y'all remember what firestorm we got into last year, and we're fixing to get another here pretty soon. Just get ready. And don't panic. I put stuff on that sign when the Lord says to. I don't do it just to cause trouble now. I wait for the Lord to tell me, and it starts getting on my heart, and I tell Miss Kim, and she'll say, okie dokie, are you sure? Preacher, I can't spell that. No, I'm kidding. Really? She puts what I tell her to put on there. And listen, y'all remember last year? What a mess. I mean, brother, we was on the CNN website. As people call me from all over this country, Minnesota and Ohio and Wisconsin. I mean, people on the other end of the country calling and griping about what I put on the sign out there. I told one lady, I said, wait a minute, before you cuss me out, I can take a cussing. I mean, look who I'm married to. I can take it, brother. But I said, before you start cussing me out, tell me your name and phone number. I will not. I said, well, you know my name and phone number. You know my name. You called it out and you got my cell number. How'd you get that in Wisconsin? And you're going to cuss me out? Tell me who you are, madam, because I might take a cussing spell too. I might out-cuss you. She said, I will not. I said, okay, we're not talking any further. And I hung up on her. But you know what that came from? That came from believing this book, brother. Listen, we put things out there on the side, not to cause trouble or make people mad, but because somebody needs to take a stand, and somebody needs to say, hey, well, I believe what the Bible says. Homosexuality is wicked, it's ungodly, it's vile. God said it, take it up with Him. I've had people in this community go to other churches and say, our preacher won't do that, but I'm glad you're doing it. I'm thinking, my God, why can't... That's terrible, ain't it? Ain't it terrible? It's a, appreciate what you're doing on your sign. I may want you to put it on your sign, too. Because you can't take all the junk that goes with it. We believe it. The Bible, we believe. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Bible. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Somebody tell me. King James Bible. That's right. That's the only Bible there is. Amen? We believe it. We teach it. We honor it. We love it. When it comes to the book, we know what we believe and why we believe it. You don't believe eternal security because I preach it. You believe it because it's in the Bible. Hey, brother, you don't believe it because it sounds good or it makes you feel good. You believe it because that book said it. I took a church about 15 years ago one time in South Carolina. And one way it was a good church. Another way they liked to drove me crazy. One of the first meetings we had, we had a building grounds committee meeting. Lord God, they had... That church was little and they had 24 committees. You know how many committees we got here? Zero. I like it. We get the men to get together and we'll hash something out and talk about it a while, then if we need to vote on it, we'll vote on it. But anyway, the men sitting there, there's one old man kept saying, well, I don't see why we can't put a woman on the deacon board. They can serve just as well. And I let it slide the first time he said it. And we just kept talking. A few minutes later, he said, my wife, she's just as blah, blah, blah. And he said it a second time. And I could feel, you know, you got them little hairs on the back of your neck. Start standing up like a dog does when you get ready. And then he said it the third time. And I said, hang on a minute, brother. And I lit into him. And I said, brother, as long as I'm pastoring here, we're going to go do things for this book. And I lit into him about 10 minutes, just preached to him, a whole room full of men. And I told him, I said, if you're a deacon here and you have to hide behind your wife's apron strings, just resign right now and leave. Amen? I don't need you. I can run it without you. I mean, I laid into it. I didn't even know the people. She was at home unpacking in the parsonage. I drove home. I said, hold it. Don't finish that. Just hang on a minute. We might not be here long. But you know what? I stayed there until God said go. But here's what I'm saying. I had to set the standard and say, here's what we're going to run this church according to what the Bible said. You say, preacher, is it your way or no way? No, I ain't never said that. I'm saying it's God's way or no way. Amen. We believe in the fundamentals. We believe the Bible. We believe in the virgin birth, the sinless life of Christ, that Jesus died for sin, salvation by grace, plus nothing, minus nothing. We believe in repentance and faith and baptism and the Lord's Supper, two ordinances the Bible teaches. We believe in living a separated life. We believe in life after death, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven and hell. We believe the fundamentals, the basics. And brother, listen, that's one thing you can never get away from. And that's what your mega churches are doing, getting away from the fundamentals. And everything's all milky in a gray area. And your kids grow up and won't know nothing. They won't know what they are, what they believe, where they're from, or where they're going. That's the right founder and the right foundation, the right fundamentals. Number four, what's right with the church? It has the right family. I like a church family. I love my church family. Now listen, a church family is like a regular family. Sometimes we might bicker a little bit. We might not agree. We might rub each other a little wrong. But that don't mean we don't pull together as a family. Amen. I told you this before, I had two older brothers when I was growing up. My brother next to me had one brother named Darrell, and the other brother's name was Darrell. No, I'm kidding. I just made that up to see if he's awake. My older brother, they didn't too many people pick on me at school. I had an older brother about two grades above me. Everybody knew him. And then I had another brother bigger than him. He was like Superman. I just thought the sun rose and set in him, and I didn't get to see him much. He grew up fast and got married and moved out, and he got gone quick. But here's what I'm saying. We used to bicker and fight. Somebody's talking about brothers fighting the other day. I told Debbie, I said, me and my brother, we fought enough for several of them. Did you fight with your brothers? I mean, man, the one next to me, my God, did we ever fight. I'm not talking about pushing and shoving and that kind of junk. I'm talking about bringing blood, brother. And somebody laying on the ground whimpering like a puppy when you got done. We grew up together and lived in the same bedroom together and slept in the same bed. That's how they used to raise kids. Three boys in that bed, two girls in that bed. You don't need but two bedrooms. A two-bedroom house with a bathroom out in the backyard. What more could you want? Do you have running water? Yes, we had running water. It's about a quarter mile down through the woods, but it's running. No, we did have running water. But the church, thank God, has the right family. I thank God for the family of God. And people, listen, brother, I've said this a million times. When you get sick or you get hurt or you get in trouble, the beer joint where you buy all your beer and the ABC store, they will not come to see you. They won't come by the hospital to visit you. They won't check on your wife. They won't check to see if your bills get paid. They won't take you up a love offering. They won't feed you. But thank God the church, brother, they're the ones. That's the right family. Oh, preacher, there's so many hypocrites down there. You just don't know them people like I do. Yeah, I do, and I know you too. You're another stinking hypocrite. Come on now. We've got enough room for two or three more. I try not to focus on people, their negative side. It's like your kids. You look on the good part. Some people have to look a little harder. But here's what I'm saying. My family is my family. My family might have their faults. I mean, we've all got them, don't we? But that's my family, brother. Don't mess with them. That's the way we ought to be as a church. When we have trouble in the church, keep it in the church. Don't go tell people that don't belong to this church about what we're doing. And well, I tell you what happened. No, we ain't had no trouble, but if we do, if and when we do, it ain't none of nobody's business to go to another church. Keep it to yourself. Pray about it. You don't have to go tell somebody. I don't tell people my family's business. I don't go around blabbing, blah, blah, blah. I tell you, that'll hurt a family. That'll hurt a church family. Keep it to yourself. I'm not saying we're a private club, but a family, brother, means inclusive. That means we're one unit. We take care of ourselves. Amen. We're supposed to take care of ourselves before we take care of anybody else. That's the right family. Every time I've ever been down or been hurt or been sick, he was talking about Brother Baker a while ago. He used to be our pastor. And Brother Baker is one of them preachers that love to give and help people. And he's still like that. We was in evangelism. We was gone all the time. But I stayed in touch with my pastor, paid our tithes at our church. And I stayed in touch with him, told him where we was at, where we was going, where I was preaching, all that stuff. But when it come Christmas time, phones start ringing. Them women be calling her. Say, Miss Sister Wilcox, hope y'all ain't going to be on the road Christmas time. We're having our party. Won't y'all be there? We got your husband a present. Praise God. Load us up. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that we don't see each other all the time, and then we don't get to visibly see each other as much as we want to, but that don't change the relationship. That don't change the fellowship. And that's the good thing about this church. It has the right family. You ever watch any of those? I know men like that stuff. Men like boxing stuff and fighting stuff, or, you know, war movies, mafia movies, where somebody's getting clipped all the time. Somebody getting whacked. Oh, so-and-so just got clipped. You know, he's faithful to the end. And all of a sudden he turns on his boss. His boss has him whacked, has his wife killed. And then next day they say, how could this happen? Don't they? You ever notice that? They're like, how could this happen? They're pacing the floor crying. How could this happen? There's always a Roman Catholic priest standing around going, salami and bologna, you know, all that stuff. And they say, how? But you know what? That ain't the right family, brother. They'll turn on you in a heartbeat. I mean, brother, when you get your friends ain't the right family, kids. You get in trouble, and they bring them in and start interrogating them. You know how cops get to the bottom of stuff? They just get one by themselves, start talking. We're going to give you the deal, or we're going to give him the deal. I'll take it. What about your friend? He ain't my friend no more. Right? You start looking at them jail bars, everything changes, brother. But I'm telling you, this is the right family. The church has the right family. It has the right founder and the foundation, the right fundamentals. It has the right family. Number five, it has the right function. I like the function of the New Testament church. We have three things. Ronnie, you can come on, get ready to sing. Our number one function as a church is to evangelize the sinner. That's why I'll go out on Saturdays and knock on doors, pass out tracts. That's why we're on the radio. That's why we spend so much money every year to be on the radio 6 days a week. It's not to promote our church. We do knock on doors and say we're from Grace Baptist Church. The only reason we do that is so they'll know we're not Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. You can almost see them go, yeah, here, I'll take it. But here's what I'm saying. Our job is to evangelize the sinner. Our job is not to be a club, a civic organization, try to just, you know, save up as much money as we can and try to have a beautiful church and impress everybody in town. Our job is to go out there and get more sinners and bring them in. If you know of any, if you can get them here, bring them. We want them. Amen. That's how I got in, brother. That's how you got in, sister. It's because the evangelist of the sinner. Not only that, but to edify the saints. That's why preachers like myself and Brother Benton and Brother Cody and some of us get up and preach and preach and preach hard and sweat and wear your body out. It's because the Bible says, wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. It's to edify or to build up. Our job as preachers and as a church, that's why you can't live as close to God at home as you can in church. Preacher, I live just as good at home as I can in church. You're a liar. You can't. If you can, tell me this. Why did Jesus bleed and die for the church if he expected you to stay home? Amen. Jesus went to church, and when Paul got saved, he went to church every time the doors opened. That's the Bible. And it's to edify the saints. When you come to church, how many of us come to church on Wednesday night? Sometimes you're just like this. You're dragging. Like, oh, Lord, I've worked 8 hours. I don't think I can make it. But when you leave, you're like, glory to God, I'm glad I came. I just feel refreshed. I just feel different. I just feel better. That's being edified and built up. It's like going to the filling station and get some more fuel, putting a new battery in. And I'll tell you, the last function, and I sure like this one too, is to exalt the Savior. I know every service ain't the same, and I know sometimes we come to church, it's kind of drab, and it's kind of nothing much going on. It's just kind of medium, you know. But then sometimes you can it just kind of gets on, don't it? And when that happens, it's us and everyone when somebody's singing about their grandma. You can get up and hear them sing songs about mom and people start crying, I ain't nothing. You can get that, listen to a country song. Amen? But when people start exalting the Savior, and the preacher starts preaching about Him, and pointing to Him, putting your heart and your mind and your focus on Him, you exalt the Savior with praise, with singing, with the lifting of hands, with testimonies, with saying amen. There's all sorts of ways that we exalt the Savior. And that's one of our functions as a New Testament church. That's what's right with the church. I can find a lot wrong with the government and a lot wrong in our community and a lot, but I'm going to tell you something. You say, preacher, churches have got problems. Of course they do. But it's still the right organization to be in. Because you've got to be born in it. You know what I'm saying? Or bought. You can get in this morning. Let's stand with heads bowed.